Praise God. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, we've been talking about, praise and worship, and we talked about that. I want us to go to our scriptures again, and let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Then we're going to go to John chapter 15, verse 7. And we took some time yesterday to pray. John chapter 15, verse 7. And then Ephesians chapter 6, and then verse 18. And yesterday we started from verse 10. Let's go ahead and read verse 10. We're going to read verse 18 and just grab some stuff out of the verse 15 and to pick out what we need to pick out. I want to talk about praise and worship, dealing with fear, and how to use praise as a weapon against fear. And I just want to show you that this is possible. You can praise yourself out of fear and into peace of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How many people know that the Lord is the Word? Amen. You can't be strong in the Lord without being strong in the Word. I want to say it one more time. You can't be strong in the Lord unless you're strong in the Word. You have to get the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. Him and His Word are inseparable. And what the Word of God says is your foundation. And he is your foundation. He's the apostle of your faith. Hebrews 12 says he's the apostle of your faith. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, or be strong in the Word, not your feelings, not your anxiety. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Not your might, His might. Not your emotions, but His might. His might, you know, we have to understand that he's brought us to a place with His might. Put on the whole armor of God. That's our job, is to put on the whole armor of God. That's not anybody else's. We put this on. We don't never take them off. in the 80s, we used to, I don't know who brought this teaching, but we used to kind of practically put these on every morning. I don't take mine off. I sleep with my armor. I eat with my armor. I go to church with my armor. I wash with my armor. This is spiritually. Amen? He says in there, put on the whole armor of God. I want you to notice the armor of God, not the armor of man. Come on now. It's the armor of God. And don't be afraid of man. Don't be afraid of what man can do to you, what human can do. They'll cause a riot. They'll cause economic disaster. But God is your armor in financial difficulty. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I think the Lord's working here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil is the plans. The word wiles in that verse means hidden schemes. In other words, the devil has plans to destroy you. You know, the Bible says that John 10:10, the devil comes not but for to kill, to steal and destroy. Is there anybody dying out there? Is that God that did it? Is anybody stealing things? You know, the devil, God doesn't send any thieves to your house. He doesn't send a thief to steal your health. So we need to see that. See? Sometimes you don't spell these out. People just read over these things. They don't think about it. So he says in there, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, you're not going to be combating natural situations. natural circumstances. For we wrestle, all right, but we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against natural things. And yet we think we're so smart mentally, we're too academically high that we get too smart for the Bible sometimes. I think so, because people say, well, I know that. I got a college education. I don't really need that. Those are the kind of people that need it. As we know, we need God, right? So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. See, this is right there where people get defeated. They read half that scripture or just that whole scripture, and then they already feel defeated because they're wrestling against all this spiritual power. Who am I? Who am I against these spiritual powers? But, you know, if you read this chapter, you'll understand this. Paul is giving the people a revelation here in the book of Ephesians by the Holy Spirit. Paul is giving, you know, praise is a weapon. But understand this, why you could praise, you know, you can't praise beyond actual knowledge. It's easy to praise God when you have knowledge about what he's going to do and what he has done. See, you can't praise God properly and use the weapon unless you know something. So praise is a weapon, but the weapon is useless unless you understand what it can do, what God has already done. If you had a gun, didn't know how to operate, use it, didn't know how to put bullets in it, it's not good for you. Might be good for the robber, maybe. He knows how to use it. So I want you to see this, because he said, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because you'll be able to stand against the hidden schemes of the devil. Well, God knows everything. And he has already prepared a way for you. He's already done it. He's already prepared victory for you. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, there's people that are demon-inspired, and they come and give you trouble sometimes, even sometimes your own relatives. They don't even know it. But don't fight with them. Just get bind up the spirit that's behind it. Amen? Don't just tell them, you know, you're being inspired by the devil. They won't believe you. They'll say, oh, yeah, okay, I'm sorry about that. No, they're going to, you know, we have to understand that demons inspire people. They'll come and tell people different things. So he says, verse 13, wherefore, take up to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. When is the evil day? When is that day? Well, it's that when you're getting attacked. The evil day is when you're getting attacked. It's that time. The evil day is the moment and the day and the opportunity you got to want to quit. There's been lots of, attack on you. He said that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. I want you to turn over here for a second, because we talked about the wiles of the devil, 1 Peter. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, because there's a lot of things to be afraid of in this day and hour. But God wants us to understand, the devil can talk to you by yourself when you're all alone and tell you how he's going to get you and how he's going to kill you and terrorizes you. See, terrorism is of the devil. Kills, steals, and destroy. People are afraid of losing stuff, losing things, losing their life, losing money, losing people, losing relationships, losing everything. You know, hey, listen, he's not going to forget anything about every one of your needs. He's concerned about whatever you care about. Remember Psalm 138, verse 8 says that God is concerned with everything we care about. Whatever concerns you, he's already taken care of it. Hallelujah. Now go over here, read 1 Peter chapter 5. I just want to remind you tonight, because I believe that there's people that has fears, and they're afraid of certain things. You know, it might not be tonight here, but when they get alone by themselves, They're afraid they're going to die. They're afraid they're going to lose their mind. They're getting old. They're too young, too skinny, too fat. They're afraid of so many things. Like last week, I was afraid of getting fat. But I read in the scripture that fat is of the Lord. It's in the scripture. I found it in there. You know, I'm saying, you know, some people are scared to get skinny. I remember one lady, you know, this family, and she eat like a hog, but she's skinny. See, don't be fooled by someone's size, because you could be glutton. Sometimes it happens to people. But in 1 Peter 5, it talks about it here, verse 7, casting all your cares upon him. So all these cares can get overloaded on you, then you get fearful. Fearful of running out, fearful of people, fearful of not having a job, not having enough, and so on. And I like what Miss Cindy said, you know, mom gives $100 and then she starts giving this and that and somebody else, and all of a sudden, you know, her needs are being met. When you start giving, other people are going to meet your needs because God knows how to find you. But if you're just giving just to get, then I would say you got something else coming to you. Give because God wants you to, with a good motive. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Does God really care for you? Does he really care you live over here in Port Arthur? Does he care about every need? Well, the Bible says he does. Does he care about that you're suffering anxiety issues? Does he care about the fact that you have you might have a cancer or something? You might have a heart disease in your family, you're afraid you're going to die, He cares about that. Like, there's so many things that people are afraid of that they think about when they're all alone. They don't even tell their closest friend because they have these issues. God wants us to be carefree. According to this scripture, he says, cast all your cares upon him, so all your cares would mean everything. Say, I'm carefree. Say, I'm not worried about money, the economic situation, the condition of my community. I'm not afraid of the government. I'm not afraid of the devil. Disease. Pain. Old age. Young age. I'm not afraid of anything. See, this is what it says here, that God says, I casting all your cares on him. So next time you get to worry, the devil tries to make you worry or remind you of stuff. Look, this happened to your cousin. And your grandmother died of that, and your grandfather, and they all died, every one of them, and now you have it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So, yeah, it's in my family, but, you know, I understand that, but Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. So I don't have to have that, because Jesus took my infirmities and bore all my sickness, my disease, by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm not going to lose my health. I'll never have a heart attack. I'll never have cancer. You got to talk like that. See, because some people don't. Oh, man, I'm going to say that. What if I get it? Well, then maybe you get it. Say what the Bible says. Now, be sober for all you drunkards up there. Be sober. This would have been a clear mind. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, notice this, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. Notice it says that he's out there, all right. Yes, he's out there, all right. And he's seeking to devour. He's looking for an opportunity in your life so that when you let your guard down, and start feeling sorry for yourself. Look, poor old me, I've got all these issues. Then he's going to come in there. You say, come on in, Mr. Devil. When you start saying that, you say, come on in, devil, come attack me. And let me stay like this again for another 6 more weeks. Or you can just rise up and say, no, I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I don't care what people say. I'm going to follow the word of God. This is God's word. Get up 4 a.m. in the morning if you have to say that. Talk to yourself. This is how you have to combat fear. Let's go to Psalm 23rd Psalm here. You can just go home right now. You know, I spend lots of time with people, you know, talking about all their things that they're having issues with. I'm having trouble with my child. I'm having trouble with addictions. I'm having trouble with finances. I got trouble with ministry problems. I got wife trouble, man trouble, emotional problems. Well, everybody's got troubles. That'd be a good song to write if you want to write one. 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, there's a good place to dance right there. Just get up and dance. I know Pastor Ken's not here. He usually does dancing for me. Amplified says, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice this, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. He's not going to let you get hungry. He's going to feed you somehow. He might find a way to feed you. Guide you. You need some advice? Well, go to the Word. Read the Scriptures. Read it every day. I promise you, if you read Scripture every day, you won't have to ask anybody else to go on Facebook to pray for you. You'll already know what to do. Most of the time, people who ask for prayer on Facebook, it's because they don't know the Scripture. They don't know God. We need to know who God is. You know, if you know your parents, their character, you wouldn't think anything different other than the fact that you know them, they're going to provide for you. See, I shall not want, he says, and to feed, guide, and shield me. He said, he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So although you're going through difficult times, shadow of death, of course, the shadow of death, actually that term, the shadow of death, the term refers to this world we're living in. And there's a lot of death working everywhere. When people lose stuff, lose people, lose finances, lose relationships, that's death working. See, that's loss. No, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff to comfort me. Verse 5, evil is right there with you. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So is God there when you're having a great time? He's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. While he's seeking to devour. We just finished read 1 Peter 5:7 that he's seeking someone to devour. Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, you're combating the enemy. He's trying to fight you. And guess what he's trying to do? His mode of operandi is trying to get you to look at yourself from the natural standpoint. His mode of operation is to get you to look at what you don't have and how you are so insufficient. Yes, yes. And how much you lack and how much you don't have. And how small you are and how insignificant you are. He's getting you to look at that so that he can get you emotionally so charged up and so out of your head that you're so full, as Luke says, drunk with the cares of this world. Now you're all so filled up with the drunk with this world's cares. So filled. What if I lose my job? What if they don't like me? So many times people are afraid of who doesn't like them, who's judging me. It don't matter what you think. What matters more is what God thinks about you. Right? It doesn't matter who it is. And what matters secondly is what you think about yourself. How do you see yourself? Last night we talked about, you know, seeing yourself as righteousness, our righteousness in Christ. We've been made righteous with God. That we have a right. We have a standing with God. So even though the enemy is there, he's right there. And in fact, after you leave here, he'll just be waiting for you over there, sitting beside your bed, if you let him in. If you leave the door open, you know, no telling what's going to come in. Tonight, when you go to bed, leave your door open and see who comes in. That's what people do with their spiritual lives. Are you there? See, you go to bed with fear, thinking about all the worries, and you try to sleep. You can't sleep because you got a lot of fear, because you've never given it up. And you've never praised. You never spend any time praising, thanking God. That's why we use a praise to erase the memories of what the devil's going to do. When you start praising, you're renewing your mind with the Word of God as you praise God, as you hear yourself praise God, and how big he is and how bad, you know, the devil is, you know, used to be, but now God's big in your life. You magnified him. Go to Psalm 34. I've been giving you some of these scriptures to help erase some of these things. Now, we said we'd go to, Ephesians. We'll come back to Ephesians 6:18 and John 15:7. We'll go backwards. We'll do our text at the end. We said, you know, praise is a form of prayer. Because prayer, as a definition, is communion with God. I want you to get that. You know, God inhabits the praises of his people. You know, he'll come and blow off the enemy from you. Did you find Psalm 34? Did I say Psalm 34? Okay, then. Psalm 34, we go. Thank you, Lord. This is a Bible study, if you don't mind. Hello there, Mrs. Camera Woman. I'll bless the Lord when I start feeling good after the flu season is over. Amen. I'll praise the Lord after the strike is over. And I'll start thinking. I mean, just think about it for a second. You know, the children of Israel, they came over there, and they came a place over to Jordan. You know, they're going to come against a city called Jericho. Everybody will have a Jericho experience. Amen? That wall is impenetrable. It's so high, so thick. How are you going to get over there? And the people in there, they're prepared for you, because when you get over there, he'll knock you on the head. You try to get over that wall. And so they use praise. God says, okay, I want you to praise God here for 7 days. And going through that wall, Jericho City, I think it's Joshua chapter 5 or chapter 6. And he said, you're going to go march around 6 times, or one time, I guess, that one day, just march around, and they're going to blow their horns, and everybody, you know, they're going to do that every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they're going to do it 7 times. And don't say a word until you heard the trumpet. And you have to shout. So that's what they did, and the walls fell down. You know, your wall of enemy, whatever it is, it's not going to fall unless we learn to praise. That's one of the hardest things to do, is get people to praise God. The tough thing, you know, to do is to praise when everything is going right. Instead of swearing and cursing and blaming people, your answer is praising him. So I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, you know, one word about praise is boasting about God. To praise means to boast about God. To tell how big he is and how wonderful he is and how loving and kind he is. Close your eyes, lift up your hands, say, Lord, I want to thank you. You're so loving and kind. And it's not even the right time. We talked about the guys there in prison in Acts chapter 16. When they were put in jail for doing something good for somebody, they're thrown in jail. They were tied up and chained to the wall. Their backs are bleeding. They're beaten up. And they started thanking God. They started praising God. The Bible said they sang praises unto God. Sang praises unto God. Acts 16. They started praising unto God at midnight. Verse 25. Acts 16, 25. Did he say they didn't sing praises for each other? They weren't entertaining anybody, but they were singing praises unto God. I think we need to learn how to sing praises unto God rather than singing songs that you just make you feel good emotionally. And once we get over that, you're just not going to just praise here when the song, your best song comes on, but you're going to praise God when you're at home and everywhere you go. It's a natural thing. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it's like the third chapter of Colossians says. Amen? So, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What should be in your mouth? Praises. My soul, now what's your soul? Your mind, your emotions. Look at this. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's something that you do. You know, the Bible said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Remember Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And over here we'll see Psalm 42. He says there, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so depressed? That's when you're talking to yourself, your emotions, you say, hey, no, you can't. You're not allowed to be depressed. Come on, we're going to praise the Lord. So your spirit is talking to your mind. Your spirit is talking there. Your spirit is stronger than your mind. Because if your mind is stronger than your spirit, then your mind takes over. That's why in addictions, it's very hard to get people out of addictions because they're so filled with their feelings and their body is taking complete control over their lives that their body drives them to use. And then their mind is connected to the body, of course, it's going to say, well, we better get another shot here. And Brother Hagin used to tell us, our spirits are locked. We put away our spirits, we lock our spirits, our own detriment. Because we can't break out of it. Because we don't know, we haven't really ascended over our soul. We haven't renewed our mind. The fact that praising God is better for you than really crying about all your issues. That's a good word. That's a word of knowledge. How many people understand this is a word of knowledge? You see, the pastoral office, the pastoral gifts, is not as spectacular as the evangelist. But it's just as supernatural. The evangelist will come, and just... there's 5-4 people get healed there. That guy over here is healed. And this guy's jumped up out of there. And every Sunday I do miracle services here. People are standing here. They're hearing the word. And bang, bang, things going off. Words of knowledge going. Word of wisdom going. Bang, 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 constantly. And word of wisdom and discerning of spirits happening every Sunday here. And people just don't even know what's happening. Just get up and go to the washroom. They can't see it. A baby will do that. A carnal Christian. If you had enough respect for the Word of God, you wouldn't even get out and go to the washroom. You'd wait for half an hour. Because you know when I quit. Right? Right? You'd have that much respect for the Word. Like sometimes, I go to service, I listen to the Word of God. I'm not going to move. There's no way I'm going to move. I want to hear what the man has to say, what God's saying to me. See, I'm not here. I told my daughter yesterday, I'm not here by myself. This is not your dad speaking to you. This is God speaking to you. This is his word speaking to you. My wife understands that when I'm sitting up, when I'm preaching here. I'm not Roma. I'm Pastor Roma to her. You know? But after service, she says, you better get out the garbage. You got another hat on. And so, yeah, you better make those eggs too. See, it's different, right? So, he says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. They're talking about humble. The Amplified, I believe it talks about here in this verse of Scripture. The humble shall hear thereof. Let's see where's that verse of Scripture here. verse 2. The humble, he says, the humble are those who are low in spirit, who are depressed in spirit. That's what it talks about in there. The humble. It's not talking about, you know, a real humble person. You know what a humble person is, right? That's not the word there. The word is those that are cast down and so discouraged. How many people know that if your friend is cast on discouraged, you come around with a nice word of God with them and give them such encouragement, man, they lift them up. That's exactly what he's talking about in there. You go visit your neighbor and they're feeling bad, you have coffee with them, and you're giving the word of God to them, and pretty soon they're out of it. You pull them right out of their depression because it's the word of God. Because when you bless the Lord, you're saying how good he is, and all of a sudden these guys are hearing you, then you lift them up out of their depression. And meanwhile, you're being lifted up because you're hearing yourself preach the word. Right? It says, magnify the Lord with me. We said to you like a couple of Sundays ago that, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. That's talking about, he's talking about himself. I will bless the Lord. And then he asks someone, verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. He's saying that let's do it together now. Magnify means to make big. You ever find do a magnifying glass or on your phone? You can there's an option on your phone to magnify the lettering on your phone so you can read it much better. Those of you that are, 40 and up understand what I'm talking about. And I remember when I first started using I take my glasses off to read when I read at night. I don't read with my glasses. So I just wonder, why, man, it's dark in here. And finally, the doctor says, you need these prescriptions. So, you know. But anyway, so magnify the Lord means to make God big. Notice, so magnify the Lord with me. Everybody say, with me. So he's saying that he's going to bless God all the time. And anybody who's depressed about anything, if they hear me, they're going to be lifted up. That's why someone can come in church Sunday morning, hear these wonderful people up here, Lisa and those guys singing songs, and all of a sudden they're lifted up. That's their ministry. Is excuse me, is to sing songs that will glorify God. Excuse me. and then people come in and they hear that, and all of a sudden, in fact, not only the words, but the atmosphere is charged with the anointing of God. You just want to feel like you want to worship God. But you don't have that option when you're alone. That's why you have to do this by faith. It's easier to praise God when the music's nice and everybody's singing songs, everybody's shouting hallelujah. You know, it's easy to do that, but you got to go alone and do this. And this man said he'll do it all the time. What a nice guy to be around with. He's always singing psalms and humming. Huh? Humming songs. He said, let us exalt. Notice, he said, let us. He said, with me. Then he said, let us. And magnify the Lord with me, and then let us. That means corporately. We talked about praise. There's a private praise. Will you do this all day, all the time, wherever you are by yourself? Then there is a corporate praise where you do it with other folks. And it's not something that you do silently in a service. Huh? If we say, okay, everybody, praise the Lord, just do it silently. We're going to have a service where everybody just go ahead and praise God under your breath as silently as possible. Until you explode. Right? No, we need to learn how to do this together. You know, what does Psalm 100 says? Pull up with Psalm 100 there, Missy. Psalm 100, if we get that up there. We're talking about employing praise in defeating fear. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But this is necessary because you have to build a foundation. So it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Of course, lands is referring to people. So make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know the scripture in James chapter 1, verse 2? Count it all joy when you come up against diverse temptations, tests, and trials. James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy. This is the same kind of thing they're talking about here. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. When you fall into it, you don't fall into something like fall in a hole. But that word fall means when you come up against or when you're confronted with. That's what that word means. Count it all joy when you come up against diverse temptations. That word temptations, that means that you're tempted to steal something. That word temptations means a test and a trial. That word temptations, if you look in, I believe it's the Greek, I better check this out, but you know, it means, I think it's the word, anyway, I better not say it, I don't understand it, but that word there means a fiery a pressure trial. It means pressures of life. The pressures of life are on you. The pressures of life are so strong on you. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. Or you count it as joy. You don't say it's joyful, but you count it as joy. In other words, instead of falling into the pressures of life and the temptations of life, instead of doing, you have a choice to either give in to those things and fall under them, under the pressure of those things, or you can rise up over them. And that's a choice that we all have to make every single day. Because there's so much in one day of how many times you could go under. It's not just one occasion, oh, I just had one trial today, bless God. Oh, man, I just got over that. I'm just, ooh, I'm so happy, there's not any more till tomorrow. No, you could have, my son told me, man, he just working so hard to get his GPA up level. I mean, he's already what do you call these students that are really good? What do you call those students? An honor student. Like, he's an A-plus student already. He's finished his third year. He wants to get his degrees in different areas. He said he wants to do this and that. And he said, I did this and that, and I'm helping my wife. I'm doing this, trying to take care of my newborn baby and so on. And he said, I went over here and I got two tickets in one day. And I don't have the money. And I guess he's asking me for money, but he didn't say, can you send me some money? I said, oh, wow, we all get those days, don't we? He said, this is $60, and that's $40. Why are you telling me I got all this money here? What do I look like, money? Anyway, so we count it all joy when you come up to a diverse temptation, test, and trial. In other words, when you are being so pressured, stress, if we can learn how to deal with stress, they tell us, science tells us today, that stress can cause cancer in people's lives and body. That you suffer enough stress in your life, it can create cancer in your body. It causes heart disease. And we studied this in university, in college. They were wondering why this one Italian community, they studied this sociologically, this one Italian community, I think it's, was that in New Jersey or where was that again? I think it was New Jersey somewhere. And they wondered why this community never had heart disease, and yet their foods were so rich that if another culture was eating that food, they'd probably die of a heart attack many times. There'd be no people left. They were rich with all this foods. And so they discovered, they wondered why these people didn't suffer any of these. And now, but this day, it has changed over now, because now they don't have that anymore because they're like everybody else. What happened? They said what happened was these people had a sense of community and security. They didn't have fears. They had family together. They ate together. They did things together. They didn't rush off and did something. They sat together and enjoyed food together, enjoyed company together. They felt secure. They felt safe. And they were at rest. They were at peace. That's what the sign says. That's why Jesus said, I've come to give you peace. And Jesus said one of the signs of the last days is people will die out of their hearts will fail. I guess that's heart attacks. Someone told me today that someone died in Parliament Hill, had a heart attack in their office. And, the motivational speaker, Les Brown, says, the people who die of heart attacks is the ones that hate their job every day. They hate going to work. The science of that is that they hate going to the same old job. But if you love your job, you don't have no problem with that. That's why you have to love to do what you're doing. They say, find something you love to do, you'll have to work a day in your life. So James 1 and 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you come up against diverse temptations, tests, and trials. When you're stressful, you need to learn to take a break and start praising God. And Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That is something we have to learn to do. Yeah. When we're in trouble, learn to lift your hands up in spite of yourself. They say, this is science, if you just smile. If you just smile, instead of going, smile at people. If you just smile, they say that something happens to your brain, it releases endorphins in you. Yeah, you start feeling better. So we need to learn to do that. So count it all joy. And we always say at this point, how does joy sound like? Yes. I mean, how was it if the Montreal Canadiens win the cup? Nobody shouts it here, huh? Okay, let me just say it this way. How about if your best team won the cup? What would you sound like? See, that's what you got to do when you got to trial and test. And there's no reason in your mind, there's no natural reason why you should be doing this, because you're doing it by faith. If you read on continually in this, it talks about in there, in verse 4, it says, you'll come to a place wanting nothing. I believe it's in verse 4. It talks about you enter the gate. Verse 4 of Psalm 100. This is the way we approach it. But James, I'm talking about James 1:4. So you come to the place wanting nothing, because verse 2 says that count it joy when you come up against diverse temptations, tests, and trials. Verse 3 says, knowing this. Everybody say, knowing this. Okay, so it's hard to praise God when you don't know anything. You need to write that down somewhere. It's almost impossible to praise God when you don't know anything about God. If you know what God's going to do for you, what He has done for you, you can't contain the praises. Especially when you see the trouble. Woo! And you know what God's already done. And you know what he's going to do if you do certain things. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! And that problem's there looking at you. That's what it's talking about in Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Valley of shadow of death. There's a lot of trouble, a lot of trial. I'm walking through this valley of shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why am I not feeling evil? Because I know what's happening. I know what's going to happen. I already told you in verse 1, the 23rd Psalm, he said, I will lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. If we really believe that, there's room for praise. There's room for praise. Even when you're walking through the valley of shadow of death, there is time to praise God. Why? Because you know something. You know something. What do you know? You know God is sufficient. His strength is sufficient. You know he meets all your needs. You know that he's healed you. You know that nothing can stop you. Are you getting this? So let's go ahead and read and close this up here. We'll do our best closing it. Psalm 34. We're going to read verse 1 again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Everybody say, all times?
All times.
Say, continually. So that's what just a reminder, verse 1. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. It's not about you, what you can do. It's not about you, how good you are, and what grade you had in school. The devil's going to ask you, what's your grade point average? Four. Okay, I better leave you alone. He don't care about that. He said, okay, you're nice looking. I'm not going to bother you. Were you a white person? Okay, we'll go with some Indians over here. I'm telling you, I call Indians. I can say Indians. You can't. He's one Indian here. Yeah, I can call him an Indian. He's a real Indian. Right? Yeah. So I'm First Nations. I'm Aboriginal. What else we call ourselves? Huh? What else they care? What the government say we call us now? Indigenous, yeah. I don't even say that. Okay. The humble shall hear thereof be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So let's remember, yes, you do this alone, then it's easier to do it in church. So there's two ways you do it. There's private praise and public praise. You should never be short in public praise. You should be able to lift your hands up in church. You should just say, praise the Lord, like everybody else. You should say, hallelujah, and not be afraid of anybody looking at you. You know, we should be able to say, yeah, ooh. You know, yeah, and service. Yeah, guess what you should do? When I was in Bible school, this black lady always used to jump up and run. That's right, Pastor. That's right. You know that's right. She'd preach right back at her. And I'd look up at this. Oh, yeah. You know, but in their culture, I guess they did that. You know, preach. That's what Brother Hagin used to say, things like this. I never used to understand it before unless I was there. Because he used to say things, you know, I listened to in the 80s. He says, I'm preaching real good. Don't shut me down, because I'm preaching real good. Because that's when the preacher is preaching, everybody starts screaming and preaching back at him, because you can't hear the preacher now. Everybody's screaming and preaching back at him. Yeah, that's right, Pastor, that's right. You know that's true. And they wave a hanky to it like this. You know that's true, Pastor. You know that's true. And go sit down again. And just as soon as you start preaching, and just get up again and do it. So you're allowed to do that in here. There's only one guy who's doing it every Sunday, and that's this guy over here. And yet we're trying to shut him down. He's the odd guy. And he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's cheering me on. That's right, Pastor. You're an amazing man. Yeah, praise God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And everybody's just, Eh? Try not to laugh. But you're supposed to be shouting to God, right? We'll get to this. We're gonna end this. Okay? So magnify the Lord with me. Everybody say, with me. Then he says in the next part of that verse, he said, let us exalt his name together. So if you got trouble, it's better to exalt God and magnify God instead of the trouble or the fear. If fear comes up, hey, I ain't afraid of that. You know what my God says? He supplies all my need. He said, I'm going to kill you. Hey, God's protection's on me. Woo! Now, in verse 4 is what I was going to go to punchline all through the scripture verse. This is what I was going to get to. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from some of my fears. Huh? Oh, all of them. So, this verse, first four scriptures tell us something about praise has something to do with getting rid of your fears. Because if you're sick in God through praise and worship, he's delivering you for all of them. I like this verse scripture over here. I mean, there's so much in here. Like verse 19 says, many are the afflictions. That word afflictions doesn't mean sickness and disease. It means trials. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from half of them. All of them. All of them, right? They say, thank God. I get up Sunday morning and say, Pastor, I want to just give a testimony. Why? Because the Lord delivered me from half of my problems. Eh? He said, what do you do with the half of the other half? He said, oh, I've been carrying them myself. Eh? It'd be silly, eh, to say, well, I gave some to my wife. She's helping me. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You have a shout in your heart for God. Let's go ahead and lift our hands together and begin to thank God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We'll just go ahead and thank him for a couple of seconds. Father, we thank you. Oh, you're so wonderful, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. You're so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. There's nobody like you, Lord. We lift up holy hands. Oh, hallelujah. This stress is not getting me down. Ha, 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 ha. This trial ain't getting me down. Thank you, Jesus. I magnify, Lord. I magnify the Lord. I magnify the Lord. I make him big in my life. He's huge. My God is huge. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's bigger than my problems. Bigger than sickness. Bigger than disease. Bigger than all my fears. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Knowing this, the trial of your faith works patience, endurance, that I'll lack nothing. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Oh, blessed be God. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for a couple of 3 seconds? Oh, pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Ramaka Sandaretishi, Amaka Sambakosa. Thank God that you're not not left without help. Thank God that you have your faculties. Thank God that you have your health. Thank God you can walk around today. Thank God you can go to bed tonight. Thank God you can go home and eat and enjoy your family. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be God forever. Glory to God.